At this Madison daycare, toddlers play dress-up. Dark boots, floral print sandals, walking shoes, and ladybug slippers are freely tried on by both boys and girls, with no push to wear one pair over the other. A bit outside the boys in blue, girls in pink assumption made in larger society. Yet for Gretchen and Ray, the passionate, progressive couple in Maybe Baby, this would still fall short of their standards for raising a child with no apparent sexual identity. By the first few chapters, they've already acquired several black onesies for Baby X and rejected presents that typify male-female roles. In short, no Barbie dolls or G.I. Joe action figures. Gretchen's devotion to the sand is affirmed by the eighth month of pregnancy, as read here by author Tania Darlington.
Gretchen put a hand on her belly. It was a true presence now, with arms and legs and a tiny secret between its thighs that no one, not even Gretchen, knew about yet. And it would be a long time, maybe 3 or 4 years at least, before anyone would know. Anyone other than Ray or herself, that was. It wasn't anyone's business, she had decided. It didn't do anyone good to know, other than to establish stereotypes and develop silly monikers, false expectations.
Darlington says the story was initially conceived way back in college, during a women's studies class.
I had a professor who was raising two young daughters, and she came in one day and she said, you know, I feel like a big fraud because here we are reading all of this, you know, material about gender construction, and I have two young girls at home who want to do nothing but run around in tutus. And she said, I'm really confounded in terms of how to make change within my own household when it comes to gender roles. And now, you know, I'm in my early 30s and I'm watching my friends have children and I'm hearing the same questions come up.
Baby X spends much of the novel curled tight in Gretchen's womb, safely oblivious to the outside world's expectations of male-female behavior. It's also unaware of how Gretchen and Ray's unorthodox parenting plan is rattling Rusty and Judy Glide, Gretchen's traditional Midwestern parents. Rusty is a used car salesman by day, and a beer-guzzling couch potato by night, settling into a rugged stupor while watching PBS documentaries. Judy is a subservient, conventional middle school teacher who, among other things, likes to sneak off to a rifle range behind her husband's back, gun secured in a cello case. The couple is momentarily elated when they hear of their daughter's pregnancy, but when Judy's offering of baby booties winds up in Gretchen and Ray's compost bin, it's apparent there's a certain amount of acceptance and reconciliation that needs to happen. Darlington says as much fun as she had in creating Gretchen and Ray, she has a special fondness for Judy and Rusty.
Because they really do try to change and understand, and I think that's the only way to approach people who are trying to come to terms with something like this, is with a kind of fondness. And I actually found myself becoming annoyed sometimes with the more rebellious characters, and I found myself thinking, like, what is this crazy idea? What makes you think that this could ever work? Why do you take yourself so seriously?
Other off-the-wall characters include Ray's mother, Sunny. Much like her performance artist son, Sunny is a free spirit.
There's the meeting of the two grandparents-to-be, and Sunny has planned this whole dinner party around babies. Everything is like little baby cocktail wieners, baby vegetables, and she's wearing a muumuu covered in little fetuses, and she gives Judy one, and they make quite the pair of twins.
All of this, of course, provides perfect foils for the traditionally minded Rusty and Judy, but Darlington says it's also made many readers ponder their own sense of parenting, identity, and conformity.
What so many women tell me is that when before their child is born, they want to try to do something gender neutral. So many of them said, oh, I had a similar idea before my baby was born. I told people I just wanted yellow clothing. I went out and I painted the nursery orange. And they said, but there came a point, especially mothers of sons, they said there came a point when my little boy wanted to wear pink and people started sending him girly things where I felt that I had to put my foot down. And they had real guilt over that.
Over the course of the book, both couples work to understand and accept their differences, though it's Rusty who arguably struggles the most. His deep-rooted anger is manifested through a series of flashbacks and impulsive actions, and also in a photo of a stranger's child he secretly carries in his wallet. But for all the devices that Darlington weaves so casually, yet effectively into the novel, what makes Maybe Baby work is its primary message that love and acceptance can overcome differences, even between the oddest of relatives. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.